to...
Oh, yeah. Wait. Okay. You know, as we were talking about this morning, you know, in this conference so far, we've been talking about laboring on the good land. And I think the one very important point that was brought out this morning is this matter of diligence and to be hardworking. And, you know, many times we are just not very hardworking. And we are, you know, we've heard all these things in the conference. And we know what the Lord wants, but many times we're still unable to do it. Many times there's still something blocking us and preventing us from doing it. And maybe even in the conference right now, you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to, right? We're singing the song, Lord, gain my heart. We give our heart to you. But then shortly after, you think about it and you think, maybe tomorrow, maybe next year, I'm not ready yet. Whatever, we give ourselves so many excuses. And so this morning, one of the things I want to talk about here is a heart. And, you know, if we may know a lot of the right teachings and the right things, you know, even today, I guess many people want to lose weight, right? They all know they need to be a certain weight, you know, you need to be healthy, you need to exercise. Everybody knows that, right? Every time you see the doctor, he says, you need to lose weight, you need to exercise, right? I used to get pain in my back, and the doctor would tell me, well, you need to strengthen your back muscles by doing more exercises. And I thought, yeah, that makes sense. It's a good idea. But did I do it? No. You know, it's good. You know, just like everybody knows, you need to lose weight or be exercised. You need to be fit. But if that in your heart, you don't make that determination to do it, then what good is it? Knowing isn't good enough. Yeah. So, you know, we may make all sorts of excuses why we don't exercise. It's too cold outside. I'm too busy. I just feel sleepy today. Not in the mood, right? That's a common one. I'm not in the mood. But, you know, what about going to work? You can't say, I'm not in the mood. I'm not going to go to work today. Right? You have to do it. You just go. No matter even if it's minus 40 outside, you know, or like yesterday, you still have to go. You know, you still need to wake up and get out of bed and eat your breakfast and go to work, no matter what. So, you know, somehow for certain things, we see the importance and we're diligent. You know, we'll make it happen. We'll do it. But then for other things, even things that we know that we need to do, we're still somehow so, we make excuses. We just don't do it. And even more for spiritual things, I think of all things, probably for spiritual things, we make the most excuses. We're just, you know, at least for health, we'll try to eat better, right? Instead of eating those snacks at night, maybe we'll pick up a vegetable or a fruit better, right? We still don't exercise, but at least we'll try to eat better. But still, it's not, at least we do something. But somehow for our spiritual life, we just don't do very much. And we make excuses. We're not very hardworking. And, you know, what also stops us is in our heart there may be hidden things that are preventing us. And so we'll look at that a bit. So one of the first things we can read is in Matthew 13. And I know everybody knows this, the parable of the sower. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Well, maybe we can read the whole thing. It's not that long. Matthew 13, verses 18 to 23. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, The wicked one and snatches away what was sown in his heart. He who received seed by the wayside, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Amen. So this speaks about the condition of our heart. You know, at the center of our being, our heart is so important. You know, this is where we, what we use to think, to decide, you know, to what we love. It determines how we are and who we are, right? And, you know, this is why the Lord talks about the condition of the heart, because many times we are just, our heart is not the right condition. And so it's not, the problem isn't the word, right? The problem is ourself. It's our heart and how we receive the word. And so here in Matthew 13, it says, if anyone hears the word of the kingdom, you know, the Lord is trying to reveal to us the word of the kingdom. He's trying to tell us more, like in this conference, about what the Father wants, right? But when we hear these things, we can tune out. We can say, I don't accept this. Or we can say, we accept it. I'm going to try it. But then, like it says here, maybe there's persecution and tribulation because of the word. It's not going to be easy. When the Lord speaks to us and reveals to us, we have to be prepared to that we have to make changes in ourselves. We have to be prepared that it's not going to be easy many times. That's why it's called laboring. It's not called vacation. It's not vacation in the land, right? Relax, sitting with a drink in your hand and a nice, you know, we imagine that in this cold weather we want to be in a nice warm place, right? Yeah, California, right? Just sitting next to the pool. But it's not like that. It's called laboring in the land. You know what? Somehow, yeah, I don't think many of us have been farmers before. But to labor, to farm in the land, it means you have to dig, you have to sweat. And sometimes my experience is sometimes I plant something, it doesn't grow. It grows a little bit and then it dies, right? It's not going to be perfect right away, but you need to be diligent to keep trying at it, keep going. And sometimes the word of the kingdom, the word that the Lord speaks to us, there are going to be things that come in and try to steal it away. You know, you'll encounter difficulties, testing, trials, but we still need to stick to it and keep trying, right? Until it says here that it bears fruit and produces, yeah, indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. This is the end result. And we need to ask ourselves, are we bearing any fruit? Is there any increase or growth, multiplication of Christ in us compared to how you were a year ago? Is there any change in you? Is anything happening? Are you growing closer to the Lord? Do you understand Him more? Do you love Him more? Is the labor becoming easier? You know, when you're farming or growing, actually doing anything, even driving, right? Who, when they get right behind the wheel, automatically just knows how to drive, and they're so good at it? Can parallel park just like that. Who's that good at it? It takes time and practice. You're going to fail. You'll probably go reverse when you meant to go straight. right? You might even bump into something. But, you know, you keep trying, and eventually you get better. And driving, you don't even have to think about it, right? Now I don't have to think, oh, do I brake now? Do I gas now? You don't have to think about it. You just know what to do, right? Some people are so good they can even text while they drive, which is not good, but, right? You know what I mean. You become so good at it, it becomes natural. But we shouldn't be afraid of laboring, right? It may be a little bit difficult, but our heart, we have to, at least in our heart, we need to set ourselves to be determined. I want to bear fruit. I want to have an increase for the Father, right? And then as we do it more, it becomes natural. You become a better farmer. You know, you become maybe your plant was only this big at the beginning, but then eventually you'll get something bigger. You'll bear more fruit. It comes through our experience, right? This is only natural. And this is why the Lord uses such examples. He uses these, you know, he uses parables like this because it's a matter of life. And it's a matter of it's something that we can understand. It's a matter of growth. Yeah, so, you know, let's not give up so easily and say, no, this doesn't work. I'm different. All these brothers and sisters, they can do it, but me, I'm different. My problems are bigger. My life is harder. They don't understand me. I can't do it. They can do it. That's a lie from the enemy. Yeah. So really, we have to change our heart to say, Lord, yes, I will. I will obey. I will do it. Right? It's somehow something has to change in our thinking, right? To give him a chance. You know, that's one of the main things we have to learn out of this conference, I think. One of the things to start is we have to give the Lord a chance to work in us, to do something, right? So in Ezekiel, it also talks about this one, also a very good verse in Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel 18, verses 30 to 32. You all got it? Ezekiel 18, 30 to 32. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity not be your ruin. Cast away you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. Amen. Yeah. You know, the Lord is not trying to make our lives difficult. You may think, you know, just like George shared earlier today, some people think that it's such pressure to live a Christian life. Actually, the Lord is not trying to make our life difficult. He's giving us a chance. He doesn't want us to die. He wants to give us a chance. And he's saying, cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. He's giving us this opportunity to turn back to him. You know, the Lord is so merciful. He's given us so many chances in life, and he's again giving us a chance to come back to him, right? To learn to get to know him, to learn how to serve him. You know, we really, especially in the church, we have such a privilege to hear this word. What are we going to do with it now? Right? Are we just going to listen to it and then forget about it? Just like in Matthew, the word is, you receive it with gladness, but then it's gone after a little while. Yeah, but we need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me a new heart.
Amen.
Yeah. Because, you know, you need to think about it. Just take a moment to think about how your heart is. What's in your heart? I don't think anybody can say that they have a pure heart, that they're good. Deep inside, you know, we all know, that we have all sorts of terrible things in our heart. Evil things, deceitful things, lies. You know, so many things. Disobedience in our heart. Laziness, like what George brought up. So many things in our heart. You know, you may look at everybody. Maybe you think everybody's so good spiritually, but actually we all have such an evil heart. We still have so much corruption in us. So we need to come to the Lord. Lord, give me a new heart. Yeah, Lord, I really need a new heart. Because my heart is not, it's not able. I'm not able to obey you. You know, sometimes I hear from people, I can't do it. I just can't obey the Lord. Well, it's true, you can't. Because our heart is still so rotten. Right, so we need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me a new heart. Yeah, and, you know, while I was reading some of these verses, I was reminded of something else here in Genesis. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Yeah, chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Yeah, we're maybe not this bad, but it's pretty evil, I'd say. Yeah, I think if the natural heart of man is just so evil, it's just so terrible. You have to confess. Now, don't be proud and say, yeah, I'm not too bad. At least I'm not a murderer or a bank robber or something. But you have to admit, if we're honest with the Lord, we have to admit that our heart is quite evil. We are quite, you know, we even deceive ourselves. We don't admit our condition. You know, we are unwilling many times to come to the Lord. Yeah, you know, we've been Christians for so many years, but nothing's happening because of our heart is so evil. We're unwilling to change, right? So this is what the outline, one of the things it mentions here about removing the hidden stones. You know, there's so many things hidden in us that we may not even realize. It goes along also with the leaven, searching your heart for leaven. Something in there is stopping you from coming to the Lord. Right, so one of the things that I was really touched with also was in the book of James. James chapter 1. Verses 22 and 23. Right? No, wait, 21 and 22. Yeah. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Amen. How many meetings have you been to? How many conferences? How many messages have you heard? How much do you know? You know, some of us, maybe we don't know a lot. We're new. But some of us, we've been around a long time. Now, compared to what you know, how many percent of that would you say is actually your living? I'd have to say it's pretty bad for me. It's pretty low. You know, and sometimes we get so bad that as soon as we hear something like James 1:21-22, we don't even turn to it and we say, yeah, I know. I don't need to read this. The Lord can't say anything new to me. I know this. I know. Hearers, don't be hearers, but be doers. I know it. Right? But the reason why we keep hearing it, the Lord makes us encounter these words again, is because we're not doing it. Right? There's still so much in us that is preventing us. Like in verse 21, it says, lay aside filthiness and overflow of wickedness. We have to really inspect ourselves and confess that we do have such overflow of wickedness and filthiness in our hearts still. What do you think about when you're by yourself, when you're with your coworkers? Do you have friends in the world? When you're with your friends in the world, what do you think about? When you're with your coworkers who are in the world, what do you think about? Right? Somehow we become a different person, right? How we deal with issues. We talk about loving the Lord and obeying the Lord and following the Lord, but then once we step into the office, we go out with our friends, we receive a text from a friend, suddenly we change, right? This filthiness starts to come out again. I'm not talking about sin. The Lord cleanses us from sin, but there's still something in our heart that needs to be corrected, that the Lord needs to change. Yeah, and you know, this to receive the word, receive with meekness the implanted word. We need to be meek. We need to soften our heart to allow the Lord to work in it. To receive it, to plant the word in our heart. You know, the next point we're talking about is hardening our heart. Have you ever tried to plant into hard soil? I don't know. Have you tried? Or tried to work with something that's so hard? You can't even stick to plant a seed, you have to dig a little hole. Sometimes you just press your finger in the soil, then you can plant the seed. But if, you know, those of you from warm climates, you won't understand this, but in a day like today, what is the soil like? It's hard as rock. The soil is hard as rock. You can't even break it with a shovel. It's so hard. How can the Lord implant the word in our heart if we're so hardened to Him? Whatever He tries to tell us, we come up with an excuse. Anything He tries to tell us, we have a reason, a justification. Yeah, I know I need to be more obedient, but I'm too busy. But I have to take care of my kids. But, you know, my life is hard. I have problems. But this, but that. Sometimes we may say, but David's not doing it. Why do I have to do it? We look at other people too. But my job's too busy. We have so many reasons. We harden our heart. So the Lord's trying to speak to us. He's trying to drill a hole, poke a hole in our heart to implant the word. But we immediately say, I can't right now. It's too difficult. Right? Something as simple as, let's say, coming to the meeting. The Lord's saying, you need to come to the meeting. And then you look for excuses, right? Oh, it's too cold outside. No, it's raining too hard. No, it's snowing too hard. Oh, I'm feeling a little tired. I've got things to do. Right? I've got an exam. We have all sorts of things. I told the young people before, even when I was in denomination, I went to the meetings, even if I had an exam the next day. And the Lord never allowed me to fail it. And I'm not the best student, really. I did not get excellent grades. But still, the Lord is faithful to take care of our needs, right? But many times we harden our heart and make excuses that prevent Him from doing anything in us, right? Young people might say, I'm too young. Old people might say, I'm too old. Right? Everybody's got something. You know, the Lord Jesus could have said, I'm too poor. I grew up in a carpenter's family. I don't have the resources. I don't have people. Everybody's rejecting me. Forget it. All you disciples, look at you. You're just fishermen and poor people. I need somebody with money so I can build a big ministry. Right? He can have so many excuses. So, but the Lord isn't like that. He didn't make excuses. So, you know, we can talk all we want about laboring on the land and having an offering for the Father, but if we make excuses and we harden our heart, then forget it. We first have to learn to obey and say, I can't do it, Lord, but you can help me do it. Lord, I need your help. I need a new heart. Yes, I am lazy. I am lazy. I do make excuses, but Lord, you can help me overcome it. You know, and it's not going to be easy. I'll say it again. And again, I have to remind you, do not be afraid of a bit of pressure. To unharden your heart and to admit that you need this help from the Lord, it takes a little bit of pain and pressure. You know, I like the example of studying. It's true. You know, if I say that I'm not going to study, I'm going to play games all day and, you know, I'm just going to sleep. Too much pressure. Oh, I've got all these books I need to read. Forget it. It's too much pressure. Then I cannot expect to graduate. Right? With anything in life. If you want to improve in your job, you have to pressure yourself to get there on time. You have to pressure yourself to work hard and perform well. Does your boss ever say, oh, that's too much pressure. Your deadline, let's get rid of the deadline. You can finish that report whenever you want. You can finish this project whenever you want. It's okay. Is that what your boss is going to say? Right? Let's say, Brian, you work at a store. Let's say you have the morning and you have to open the store at, I don't know, 8 a.m. Let's say, I don't know, my sister used to work at McDonald's. She had to get there at 6 a.m. And can the boss say, oh, forget it. It's too much pressure on the employees. Well, let's make the opening hour 11 a.m. What do you think will happen to the business? They're going to lose all the business. Forget about breakfast, right? They'll go right into lunch. They'll miss out. You know, even in our Christian life, there's so much more we can gain. If even in the world you expect that, some pressure and pushing and discipline and training, why do we expect a free ride in our Christian life? The Lord is going to put us through a bit of heat in these days. Even just to deal with our pride. What do you have to do? Let's say I had a disagreement with George. And I was really wrong. We both argued. George says, I'm right. And I said, no, I'm right. But then the Lord convicts me. No, you were wrong. Am I just going to ignore it? Pretend nothing happened? What do I do? What do I do? What would you do if the Lord convicts you that you are wrong? You reconcile. You apologize. Do you know how hard it is to apologize when you're sure you're right? Do you know that feeling when you have to go up to the brother or sister or your that person and say, huh?
Or your wife.
Or your wife, yeah? You have to say, I was wrong, I'm sorry. It's not easy, is it? Have you experienced that? That's the Lord dealing with your pride. To say, you lower yourself to say, yes, I am sorry. I won't do it again. Or will the Lord just say, no, that's too much pressure for you. Just ignore it. Everybody just sweep it under the rug, right? Like in English, we have an expression, you sweep it under the rug. All the dirt, you sweep it under, cover it up, pretend it doesn't exist. But the dirt is still under the rug, right? One day, the wind blows and the rug will come up and all the dirt still comes out. And it's probably worse, right? All the dirt that you kept sweeping under the rug, it all comes out and you got a big storm of dirt. Yeah, so this is why we need to deal with, we have to be willing to. The Lord trains us in these situations. You have to take that step, right? To deal with the condition of our heart. Recognize it and deal with it. Even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's hard to do, this is how we grow, right? This is how the Lord trains us. You know, coming to the meeting. Maybe you have a habit to not come to the meeting. Or maybe you have a habit to not read the word. You know how hard it is to change a habit? It became a habit. It's hard to change. That's why they call it a habit. You know, if it's not a habit, somebody invented that word. Because it's become part of your routine, your personality to keep doing it, right? Some people have a habit to, I don't know, like, not, let's say, not wash their hands, like, before, or after, maybe after, right? Or maybe after they eat, their habit is to just leave the dishes on the table, right? Your habit is to throw your dishes in the sink. Or some people have a habit of smoking, right? Some people have a habit to, all these sorts of problems that we routinely, continually do. Maybe our habit is to not come to the Lord, right? So to change this, it's not easy. We have to train ourselves with the Lord's help to deal with these bad habits in our heart. Don't let bad things become a habit. Actually, we should not do anything out of a habit. Even when we come before the Lord, it should not be a routine thing. It should be because I genuinely seek you. Right? I really want to come to you and know what you want to tell me. When we come to the Word, right? Don't make it a habit just to, oh yeah, I read my two chapters while I'm reading, my mind is thinking about something else, but hey, I read my Bible today. You know, let the Lord come speak to you. Eat the word. Okay? Yeah, so it's really dangerous for a heart to be hardened. Another point in the outline, something I saw recently, I never saw this before, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22b, which means the second half of verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let's just read the whole verse. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. Yeah, you know, we need to deal with this, our conscience also. And what is an evil conscience? I just realized this. There's a difference between a guilty conscience and an evil conscience. What is a guilty conscience? Let's say you did something wrong, Let's say I said something to offend David. Right? I said something to, maybe I lost my temper and I said something really wrong. And then the Lord convicts me. I feel really bad inside. My conscience is bothering me to say, you shouldn't have said that. Right? This is the evil, the guilty conscience. The conscience is convicting me of something I did wrong. But what happens if the conscience is bothering me and I don't do anything? And then again I do it. Again I say something to offend David. And then again I ignore my conscience. And I do that several times. What happens? You don't feel so bad about it anymore. Like it says in, I believe, 2 Timothy, your conscience is seared. You don't feel it anymore. And what happens? Things that would normally bother you, they don't bother you anymore. This is an evil conscience. Now your conscience is insensitive to evil things, to things that are, you know, things that are not right, things that are sinful, or things that are, you know, whatever the Lord is trying to deal with in you, you don't feel it anymore. You've lost the feeling. Your conscience is already corrupted. And how do you deal with that? How do you deal with it? You need, it says here, you need your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. We need the washing. We need the washing from the Word. Right? The Lord has to cleanse us and recover our conscience. Yeah, you know, I think we all kind of had this experience. At first, maybe you, I don't know, whatever it is. Maybe, let's say, you're driving really fast on the street. Feel really bad. Oh, I shouldn't do that. Right? Or maybe something you do with your friends, right? Young people. Or something you see. At first, it bothered you. Oh, I shouldn't have looked at that. I shouldn't have read that. Or I shouldn't have participated in what they were doing. You know, I remember, like when I was younger, some friends would tell bad jokes, and at first I felt really bad. Oh, this was really dirty, bad jokes. And then I thought, oh, it was kind of funny. So maybe again I'm with my friends again, and they tell more jokes, but this time I don't feel so bad. Right. And eventually, it sears my conscience. I'm not bothered by it anymore. Right? Or things that you watch on TV or on the internet. It used to bother you. Now it doesn't bother you anymore. Right? Yeah, so the Lord, we need to recognize the problem and have the Lord deal with it. Right? This is stopping me from coming to you, Lord. It's hardening the ground that the Word cannot be implanted in me and bear fruit. Yeah. And the next point is, let me check my time. Okay. Really, I got a long way to go. I can't finish everything. Okay. This point about believing and being obedient, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 19. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 19. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Amen. And this kind of goes with something we mentioned briefly before. You know, the Lord cannot do anything in us if we don't believe that He can do it. Right? If we don't believe that it's possible that we can be perfected, that we can bear fruit. We don't believe that we can bring an offering. that we can produce anything. Right? There's no way anything can happen if we don't believe it. So we need to really overcome our belief and be able to and do it. Do what he tells us. And I think also this one in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Yeah. And again, it mentions about believing. Right. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, and believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Amen. Yeah, you know, we have to, this belief is so important. You know, if there's anything that we do not believe, we really need to come to the Lord and ask Him to show us, to make it real in us, to reveal it, to open our eyes, to see it. You know, if we don't, you know, we could even come to this whole conference and hear so many great things, but if we don't believe it, if we don't believe how it can be possible, then the Lord cannot do it. Right? We first have to believe that the Lord is able to accomplish all these things in us. Right? No matter, sometimes people look at, we look at our own situation and we think how far we are from the mark, from the goal. And then we immediately say, no, I can't do it. I can't be spiritual like, I don't know, John or George or David or whoever, right? I look at the other saints and I think, I can't be like that. I can't be so-called spiritual. Or you look at the example of the Lord. Look at how perfect He was. I can't be like that. But this is what this point is about in this conference, that we labor on the Lord, right? And He's working it out in us, and we're working together with Him, and it grows in us. You know, I really hope that in the next 6 months to a year, we really see such a change in all the saints. Amen. You know, such a difference in how we live and how we think and how we act, because of the increase of Christ in us, right? And this really has to be the result. And of course, one of the things that, you know, is one of the things that people think of when it comes to the heart. The next point here is Matthew 22, verses 37-38. I really encourage you all to remember these verses. And I know you're probably thinking, I know this already, but it doesn't matter. We're going to read it. Verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Amen. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Do you really love our Lord with such a love that your whole heart, you love Him with the whole heart? What does it mean to love with the whole heart? It means that you don't love anything else. Do you love anything else? If I ask you, what do you love? What does it make you think of? Some people might say, I love food. Right? Some people might say, I love watching TV. I love sports. I love my children. I don't know, I love my work. Some people are married to their work. Really, I know people married to their work. Some people say, I love doing nothing. Really, there are people who love doing nothing. Yeah. There's so many things we love. Right? And when you know you love something, when you're always thinking about it, when you enjoy doing that thing. You know, if I love food, what do I love to do? Then I love to go out and eat. I love to try different foods, right? And eat and eat and eat. I just love it so much. When I'm at home, I think about food. I look up how to cook recipes. I watch cooking shows, right? I love it so much. Maybe my Windows desktop is food. I don't know. Right? It could be all sorts of things, right? I'm just being a little extreme, but you get the idea. It's on our heart. We're always thinking about it. You know, but somehow for the Lord, when it comes to the Lord, it's like a chore. We don't love Him enough. You know, to come to the meeting, or to spend time with Him. You know, if you love somebody, you love to spend time with that person. You know, you're thinking about the person. You love to hear the person talk to you, and you love to talk to that person. Right? But somehow when it comes to the Lord, it's like we only think of Him as just, I don't know what, our Savior only, right? The one who grants our requests. But we don't have such a love towards Him. There's also that verse that you should all remember in Ephesians, or Revelation chapter 2, to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians 2. Oh, because it's for the church in Ephesus, right? Revelation chapter 2, written to the church in Ephesus, verses 3. Let's just read 3 to 5. Revelation 2, 3 to 5. Okay. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Amen. Amen. You know, it's not so much about the things we do for the Lord. Of course, we need to serve Him and we need to labor in the church life. But here, the church in Ephesus was missing their first love. You know, this is a real danger, that this love, even giving the offerings, we bring the offerings to the Father. Are you doing it because we're supposed to? Because I want to gain something out of it? I want some increase out of it? So many reasons, right? Or do we do it because we love? We have such a love for the Lord to bring something to satisfy the Father. I want the Father to be satisfied. How we live, how you conduct yourself in your daily life, how you conduct yourself at home, why do you behave? Why do you walk in the Spirit? It's because of my love for the Lord. Right? I love Him. I want Him to see this Christ in me. And I do it because I love the Lord. You know, loving the Lord isn't just a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. Oh, I love the Lord. I love Him. I love Him. I love Him. It's not like that. Right? You love Him, but then you go and do whatever you want. That's not the love that we're talking about. This is a love of obedience and righteousness, right? How we do what is satisfying to Him. We want to please Him, to please our Father. And He occupies our whole heart. And He is the one that we treasure the most, right? So this is the type of love we need to have with our whole heart, loving with the whole heart. You know, it's easy to say, I'm talking about this, but I have things that I love also. And, you know, please don't think that, yeah, you you're talking about this, but you're not doing it. We all have to learn this, right? I have to learn this. You know, I have to think about what I love in addition to the Lord. And many times the Lord, what I love, I mean, my love for the Lord is just not enough. Yeah, I don't care enough about how I make him feel or how what he thinks of my actions. You know, whether I'm really walking in Christ, whether I'm really laboring in Christ. Yeah, this is really lacking in me. And I need to inspect my heart and cleanse it. Need a new heart. And I won't hit all the points, but yeah, keeping our heart with all diligence in Proverbs chapter 4. Did I say that right? Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Amen. You know, to keep our heart pure and right, it takes some diligence. You need to protect it. Protect yourself from what you expose yourself to. Right? If you know that being with these friends, for example, will bring in things to corrupt my conscience, then better stay away. And of course that takes a bit of pressure, but this is a good type of pressure. Right? You've realized that it's to protect your heart. If you know that getting involved in a certain activity or a hobby or something is going to take up all of your heart, maybe my kids are taking up all of my heart, then I need to be careful to regulate how I, regulate the way that I take care of my kids, that I still put the Lord first. It doesn't mean I don't care about my kids anymore. I just come to the meeting, leave them home alone, and they can do whatever they want. No. But because I love the Lord, I raise my kids in a way that brings them to the Lord, where they're disciplined and trained. But in all things, what I do it with the Lord in mind, out of my love for the Lord. Right? So, you know, we really have to ask the Lord with wisdom, for wisdom, how to keep our heart right. Okay? Not to allow things to corrupt our heart, to take away space in our heart from the Lord. Yeah, so, definitely we need a lot of wisdom from the Lord about this. Right? Yeah, otherwise, if the heart is wrong, if our heart is corrupted, is hard, our conscience is seared, then forget it. No way to labor on the. You will not produce any fruit. Right? Yeah, but we have to be willing. Lord, work in me, and I give you the room in my heart to produce the fruit. Lord, I know it's going to be difficult to labor, to dig out the stones, to plant the seeds, to sowing to the Spirit. That's another point we didn't get to. Maybe we can just quickly read that. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Amen. You know, we're always sowing. We spend so much time sowing to our flesh, doing the things that satisfies our own flesh. You know, living according to our flesh. And the Lord is trying to speak to us, to get us to live and walk by the Spirit. Do the things that cause growth and increase in your life, in the spirit. But we're so resistant to it, right? Somehow somebody mentioned this, right? We are planting in the wrong field. We're planting the wrong seeds. Something's not right, you know? So yeah, we labor so hard. We're planting and sowing and laboring, but it's all for the flesh. You know, people work so hard for their job to make money. Sowing and sowing, you know, they're not satisfied. They want more. I'm not happy with the amount I'm making. I want more, right? And, you know, sometimes you tell yourself, yeah, it's so I can pay off my mortgage faster, so I can, you know, live a better life. But, you know, this is a leaven inside of us, that we're dissatisfied, right? We're sowing, we work and spend so much time towards it. It occupies our heart and our mind to so-called have a better life, right? Many people want a better life. But this is where the Feast of the Tabernacles comes in, right? Remember that this is not our home anyways. So why do you sow and sow and sow, work so hard to make a better life? Leave it in the Lord's hands, right? Give it to Him. And better invest in the good land, right? In working on the good land, right? In the kingdom, the coming kingdom. You know, what good is it if you build yourself a great big house, but then you miss out on the best house, right? On the kingdom? What good is it? Right. So, yeah, it all starts in the heart. Where is it in your heart? What do you want? You know, think about it. What do you want out of your Christian life? Right. Are you happy just to come to meetings once a week on Sunday? Have your sins forgiven? But ask yourself, in your heart, what do you want out of your Christian life? Right. Do I want to reach the goal? And if you do, am I willing to make the effort to even be willing to go through some pressure and make the mistakes in order to have to reach the goal? Right? Yeah, hopefully the Lord can really open our eyes to see this point and stop making excuses and just let the Lord deal with us and submit to Him. Right? Amen.